Well, this morning, as we know, we're going to have a baby presentation. And what I would like to do this morning, as far as the message, is speak on quality time with your children. Thank you, Eric. Quality time with your children. As we said, we have a special service this morning that Brian and Valentina will be presenting their daughter, Valerie, to the Lord. This is a wonderful desire on the part of the parents. They have chosen to present their child to the Lord. Very commendable and very wise choice on the part of the parents. Only Jesus could properly care for the daughter. As parents, you do their best, but then we need the Lord to be there at all times. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 states, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." How does a parent train the child in the ways of the Lord? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 14. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 14. Give you a minute to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you." So the word of God is to be, as we read here in Deuteronomy, the word of God is to be in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11 states, "Your word have I treasured." Not only that the word of God is in your heart, I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. As the Lord commanded fathers and mothers to diligently teach the word of God to their children, He commanded to diligently teach the word of God to their children. It means it's going to take an effort. This is a commandment from God and not just a good idea. Time and effort will be required to teach God's word to your children, but it will be worth every minute of your effort, especially considering the world in which we live today. If we don't put the word of the Lord in our children, they will be vulnerable to a worldly, ungodly doctrine. And believe me, those doctrines are out there today. Children are a gift from God. You can read that in Psalm 127, verse 3. Therefore, you want to put the word of God in them. They're a gift from God. You want to put the word of God in them. Parents are to have the word of the Lord in their hearts so that they can teach it and pass it on to their children. Parents can't give or pass on what they don't have. So the parents have to have the word of God in their hearts. King David said, "Your word have I treasured in my heart." Verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." If you are outdoors or traveling and see a beautiful aspect of God's creation, acknowledge the Lord with your children. You can teach your children about God and uplift Him at any time. I said, what can I see around here? I live in a suburban area or I'm by the city. You know, if you go down to the shore, you see the ocean, you see the creation of God. You could see Him in a flower. You could see Him when you look up at the sky at night. And you could teach that to your children. This is God. This is God's creation. It's His handiwork. You can teach your children about God and uplift Him at any time. Let them know who the Lord is and how much He means in your life. And when you lie down, pray with your children before putting them to bed. Many already do this. Now, verse 8 mentions frontals. Verse 8 says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead." What are frontals? Frontals are forehead bands containing verses of Scripture. If the Word of God is to be as frontals or as a sign on your hand, it means that you have to know the Word of God well. Anything that you teach, you have to know well. How could a teacher in school or a professor in college teach the subject if he or she doesn't know it well? So if you're going to teach the Word of God, you have to possess it and you have to know it well. You can't give your children what you don't have. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy, "You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." This is not an exaggerated command. How many times have Christian parents taped a biblical memory verse for their children on a wall or on the refrigerator? My mother used to have it. I've been in houses where you see on the refrigerator, you know, verse for the day or something on taped onto the wall. It's a good thing to do for the children. This is spending quality time with your children. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, Suffer the little children, or permit, let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Permit the little children to come to me, and forbid them not. And when the disciples tried to stop this, it says Jesus was much displeased. He wanted, he stopped the disciples. He was displeased with them. Don't forbid, don't stop the parents from bringing their children to me. Don't stop the children from coming to me. And verse 16, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Jesus loved the children, and he loves Valerie too. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. Now consider it. I always like to bring these messages down on Main Street. You think these children were all clean? I mean, maybe some were. Maybe they traveled the distance to get to where Jesus was. Maybe they dirtied the diaper on the way over to get to Jesus. Why do I say this? Because Jesus didn't care if that happened. He picked them up in his arms and he blessed them anyway. The love of Jesus. Jesus loved them so much, he picked them up anyway. Considering how much Jesus loves your children, fill your children with the teachings of Jesus. Let them know who Jesus is. Parents need to instill the Lord into their children. Because as we know, educational facility these days and the public school system certainly will not teach your children about the Lord. You know that. They will not teach your children about the Lord. These institutions are instilling their own anti-God doctrine into students. Just listen to the news, or you might see on the internet what they're teaching down to kindergarten level and nursery school today. It makes your hair stand up. I was just reading it again this week. What they're teaching to children as far down as nursery school. I won't go into it. If you watch the news, if you read it on the internet, you'll see what they're teaching children. I don't even want to mention it from the altar. But you've got to instill Jesus into your children because they certainly will not get it from the school system. They'll get the opposite. They'll get the doctrine of Satan from the school system. Some politicians will go as far as to make you believe that your children should accept current-day philosophies and teachings. You don't believe it? See what's going on at the federal level and former presidents, what they have said should be taught in schools. There was one recent president, no names, I don't like getting political in church, but one president said that the doctrine that will be taught in schools will be evolution. Now, do you want your child being taught that or taught them that God created? Teach your children about the Lord, instill the Lord into them. Of course, the school system will not, definitely will not. So the politicians would go as far as to make you believe that your children should accept current-day philosophy and teachings. But your children don't belong to the government. They belong to you. They belong to you, the parent. God makes the child and gives him or her to the parents, not the government. Therefore, the parents need to put the Lord and his teachings into the child. Instill the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ into them. this will be a solid foundation in their life. Because whatever they learn in the world is not going to be a solid foundation. Let's read about the solid foundation. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. The solid foundation which comes in Christ alone. The only solid foundation. As the hymn states, all other ground is sinking sand. The only foundation, solid foundation, is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The only true solid rock in life is Jesus. If your children genuinely have the Lord and His teachings in their heart and in their lives, they will be able to stand against the ungodly teachings and doctrines of this world. They will not be swayed or confused or fall to these ungodly philosophies and teachings that they will be exposed to. So before they get into the school system, teach your children about the Lord. Their house will stand because it will be founded on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Fill your children with the knowledge of the Lord. Teach them about Jesus. Take them to church. When you go shopping for your children on birthday or Christmas or some other event, you always buy the best gift that you could afford, right? You want to get the best for them. Well, the best gift that you can give your children is Jesus Christ. And it won't cost you a penny. It will take your effort to teach them, but it's worth the effort, and it won't cost you a penny. The best gift that you could give your children is Jesus Christ. Remember this. Only Jesus can satisfy their soul or anyone's soul. There's a saying, and you've seen it up on our screens before. The only one who could satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. The human heart seems to have a void in it. The only one who could truly fill that void is Jesus. Let your children know this before something else fills that void. Teach them at a young age to give their lives to Jesus and to accept Him into their lives. I was talking to someone, and they were saying that when her sons were young, that they were in Sunday school. In fact, we know this person. It's Edie Lombardo. One of her sons went to Sunday school. He was only about 4 years old at the time. She told me this. Comes home from Sunday school one morning and says, "Mommy, the Sunday school teacher, told us about the most awful place called hell. Is it really true?" She said, "Yes." She said, "You know what? But if you accept Jesus into your life, you won't go there." At that moment, well, I don't know which one for three sons or ones, but at that moment, the son accepted Jesus into his life. All three of her sons say are saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit. My point is that they're not too young, even at 4 years old or younger, to understand and start teaching them about Jesus. My mother took us to church from birth. What about, I want to read something, some of the words that King David wrote. Parents need to spend quality time with their children. That should include quality time with the Lord. King David had a beautiful communion with God. We get an idea of the communion that David had with the Lord in the Psalms. I'll read a couple to you. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, reading between the lines, as David said, when I am awake, I'm still with you. It means when I fell asleep, I was with you. Psalm 63, verse 6. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What a way to fall asleep. And David was a shepherd boy. He was watching sheep at night, probably admiring the stars, which I believe is in his teachings and his writings, and thinking of the Lord, meditating the Lord at night. And what a way for us to fall asleep and wake up in communion with the Lord. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Maybe David felt as though he could not get enough of God. I hope and pray that we all feel as though we cannot get enough of the Lord. David's closeness to the Lord is shown in Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul clings to you. This is for everybody. My soul clings to you. I hope and pray that all of us can say this. My soul clings to you, God. Parents, you want your children to cling to the Lord, especially in this evil, mixed-up world in which we live, and it is evil and mixed up. Let your children have the testimony of a wonderful communion with the Lord. What about Mary of Bethany, speaking of communion with the Lord? Do you remember when Jesus came to the house? You can read this in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Mary stopped what she was doing to listen to Jesus. Mary was spending time listening to Jesus' words. She made room and time for Jesus in her daily activities in her life. In your activities, have family time with Jesus. Make this a priority. Make sure you have family time with Jesus, and make sure your children are part of it. There is so much that we can learn about from him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed to his death. And going back to Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus said that time spent with him is needed, not just a good idea. Let me read that to you. But only one thing. Jesus was talking to Martha, Mary's sister at this point, who was in the kitchen, not listening to Jesus. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus said that time spent with him was necessary, not just a good idea, but necessary. Make sure that as a family, you spend quality time with Jesus. Don't wait till something happens and then spend quality time with the Lord. If your family spends quality time with Jesus, you may avoid a family crisis or a tragedy. You don't want that to happen. So what about quality time with Jesus? What better quality time could you spend with your children other than teaching them about Jesus and letting them know that he is their best friend? There's an old saying, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Our friends rub off on us, right? We want Jesus to rub off on us and our children. The more quality time you spend with Jesus, the more you will become like him, and it will be evident in your life. Let your children have the testimony of possessing and confessing the reality of Jesus Christ. Let your children have the testimony of possessing and confessing the reality of Jesus Christ. Pray that they will come to know Jesus at an early age, and his infinite, awesome, magnificent, and more than amazing personality. Let them know that he is undefined and indescribable. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 states, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Only Jesus could properly love and care for, be a 24/7 best friend, protect, guide, take care of your children through life and into his kingdom. Only God could do that. What about the touch of the Master's hand? This morning, we're going to present Valerie to the Lord. What happened when Jesus' hands touched someone? Here's a good subject. Jesus touched outcast, contagious lepers. He didn't have to touch them. We know that they were very contagious. Jesus didn't have to touch them. He could have healed them with the power of his word. But Jesus, knowing that lepers were outcasts and contagious, he compassionately and lovingly touched them and healed them. They experienced the touch of the Master's hand. Jesus raised the dead with his hand. Matthew 5:41 tells us that Jesus took the hand of Jairus' daughter and brought her back to life. Again, it was the touch of the Master's hand. Whatever Jesus touched was never the same again. I want to repeat that. Whatever Jesus touched was never the same again. In our day, how many lives has Jesus touched that will never be the same again, including your own? Lives will never be the same again because they were touched by the Master's hand. How can the touch of the Master's hand be described? I'll read a short poem to you. The touch of the Master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who will start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, and as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We do not quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, going twice. He is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the work of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Whatever was touched by the master's hand was never the same again. Wow. There is infinite love, kindness, compassion, mercy, healing power, the skill of the Creator, the power of the Almighty God, and the touch of the Master's hand. Just want to repeat that one line, then we're going to present the baby. There is infinite love, kindness, compassion, mercy, healing power, the skill of the Creator, the power of the Almighty God, and the touch of the Master's hand. So we're going to present Valerie to the Lord at this point. We'll set up over here. Take a couple of moments to set up.